It's Friday the 16th of January 2015 and I'm still in Turku for one more day. I have to stop reminding myself that it's actually not 7:30 in the morning but 5:30 UK time. I feel like I'm up in the middle of the night. I'm just about to be picked up and taken to the university to do some teaching this morning. Caught up on my emails and Twitter and one or two other things this morning, and it was an interesting entry on the Ithenticate blog about the geography of plagiarism. Took a quick look at that. It doesn't look too good for certain parts of the world. I won't mention them here until I read it in more detail, but I retweeted the link on my Twitter site, at rwatson1955. It's a worrying problem, plagiarism, and all sorts of cheating and ethical malpractice in the publishing industry. Takes up more and more of my time as an editor-in-chief. Anyway, I will catch up later, see what the morning holds and see if they enjoy my sessions on multivariate analysis this morning. I hear it's a very interesting and lively and mixed group, not all Finnish. There's at least one person from the UK, someone from Lithuania, someone from Spain, and I believe there's other nationalities there too, so should be an interesting morning.
We had some thoughts about how to use it, and I think that the statistician says also something, but now we have the possibility to consult, I think, and have a discussion also how to use it and how to possibly make it, and in what kind of situation, what possible, alterations there are in using factor analysis. So please continue to be so active as you have been for now.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Yes.
Thanks very much. Okay, I'll see you at 9:45.
Yes.
Well, good morning. My name is Roger. Oh, if I press that, you'll see that. Okay, can you see that okay?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, my name is Roger. I'm from the UK. I'm from Scotland. So my accent isn't quite the same as Norman's. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. Is that okay? I'm a northerner, you see, from the north part of the UK. And when I get excited, I speak a little bit too quickly. So just slow me down if you don't catch anything. I know most people here speak English, but not the same English as me, necessarily. I'll try to keep remembering you there, too. This is I know there's one or two people still to arrive, so I hope that they don't miss too much. Today, I'm going to talk about two things. Factor analysis in the first session up until about 9:45, and then I'm going to talk about item response theory after that. Words that probably strike fear into your hearts if you've ever read anything or come across them. This is going to be a very non-technical presentation. Some of you might already know something about some of these things. I don't know everything about them. I'm still learning too, okay? But I'm somebody who's used these techniques a lot, and I find them very useful. And so hopefully you'll come away from this with one of four views. One, that factor analysis is either useful or it's not useful. Item response theory is useful or it's not useful. But you've got to fall into one of those four categories. There's no escaping, okay? I don't know what more to say by way of an introduction. I've made the PowerPoints available on your VLE. I don't know if you got them or not. I just started. I don't know if you got them or not. There's no copyright on them. You can print them off, use them in any way. And I put up some PDFs, or I asked for some papers to be put up, but that was only just the other day. There's a couple on factor analysis and one on item response theory. They may not be there yet, but they'll be up later. I'll make sure that Rita puts them up for you to read. So really, this is about the principles of factor analysis. And as you probably know, I'll say this, although I'll come back to it later, I'll repeat myself a few times. There are two types of factor analysis, exploratory and confirmatory. I'm sure you've come across that. I'm going to focus on exploratory, really, to get across the principles. If in time, I will run through a little bit of a confirmatory one at the end. But that's a very specialised area, and it would take a lot of time to go into details. But exploratory gets across the sort of basic principles of factor analysis. So, right, Factor analysis, most people, when they think of factor analysis, they panic. They think this is really complicated, I'll never get the hang of it. It looks very statistical, lots of big numbers associated with it. Actually, factor analysis doesn't really come from the field of statistics, it comes from psychology. And a lot of statisticians, some of the ones you may have met during the week, probably don't like factor analysis very much. They're not very keen on this multivariate approach. It's a multivariate approach, looking at lots of variables at once. So it falls really within statistics, as does item response theory. And it's to do with looking at how items behave relative to one another and how to develop. So it's one way of developing questionnaires. There are other ways. So I'd really encourage you, not to panic. Okay, it's not as bad as all that. And I'll be really happy if you stop me, ask me questions, things you don't understand. Don't let me run on with something that you really just don't grasp, because somebody else in the class might not grasp it. You may then find out that I don't know how to explain it either. Good. Hi. Okay. Welcome back. Coffee and biscuits. I'll just check the timetable. We've got until 11:30, so better move on. I'm just going to finish off on factor analysis by very quickly looking at an example of confirmatory factor analysis. I'm not going to go into this in the same sort of details at all. It's just really to give you an idea of what one looks like, why you might use it, and when you might use it, and if it's worth using. As you saw from exploratory factor analysis, the basic judgment that you've got to make in exploratory is how many factors are present. That's the first judgment. I mean, once you've filtered the data and made sure they're suitable, and the next judgment is what those factors are by allocating the loadings around the items, which is what we showed you at the end there. Confirmatory factor analysis is different. It works the other way around. You establish already, one way or another, either from exploratory factor analysis or from a theory, what your factors are, and you set that up and you test it. And it's tested against something called fit indices. There are a whole range of fit indices. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. I'll show you an example of an output with fit indices at the end. I'm not going to go to run through this. It would take us too long. What I'd like to get you to show you just how useful the technique can be if you've got an a priori idea of what your structure is and if you've got enough data, and the data tend never to be big enough for these analyses. So I'm looking at a scale called the Spirituality and Spiritual Care Rating Scale, not developed by me but developed by a colleague of mine called Wolf McSherry. Works still in England, used to work at Hull with me. But I've been involved in helping with some of the analysis of this particular scale. We could have a big argument about spirituality and nursing and all that. Please, let's not. Let's just look at the scale. And I'm not going to look at it in a huge amount of detail. But there are some problems with the whole concept of spirituality. Defining spirituality is very difficult. Looking at spiritual care as opposed to spirituality is difficult, and of course trying to measure spirituality, if indeed you can measure spirituality, and is it is it one or two concepts? Is spiritual care and spirituality and religiosity, all these things are thrown into the mix. So it's a difficult area, and Wolf's very interested in spirituality. That's his area of research. And they decided to develop a scale. So there are some other spirituality scales around, but I think the Wolf McSherry scale is the one that's used mostly. You come across it all over the place, and he's building up a database, tens of thousands of respondents to it. So basically, the initial scale is a 17-point scale.
My work at the university is finished for the day, so that's good. Teaching went well this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The students were just great, as expected. They asked lots of questions and seemed very appreciative. They certainly told Rita that they were, which is always gratifying. I don't know when I'm going to be back here, because in May I normally do a writing for publication workshop, but I can't come this year because something else has got in the way. And I think this particular set of workshops is only once every 2 years, but I hope it won't be too long before I'm back. The weather's gone a little bit warmer, which is nicer, but the roads have just turned into slush, which is up to your ankles, so everyone's feet's wet. So I'm back in the hotel and I'm going to check out the gym and then do a bit of work and get another early night, because I've got to be up even earlier tomorrow. I've got to get a 5 o'clock taxi to the airport. I've been warned to order one because it's Friday night and Saturday morning in Turku, and that's nightclub night, and people will be coming home from the nightclubs about 5 o'clock, so I need to make sure I order one, get to the airport for a 6:20 flight and on to Helsinki and onwards. I just noticed that my laundry's back in the room. This is one of my obsessions when I'm travelling, is to make sure that hotels have laundries and I can get it done, because as I said, I only ever take cabin luggage, so I'm a bit restricted on what I can take. So here I put it in this morning at 8 o'clock and it's back here before 4 o'clock. That's, in fact, it was back before 3 o'clock. That's exceptional service. So that's a good point for the Radisson in Turku. Well, the gym was fantastic, mainly because there was nobody else there. It was really good, really clean, well equipped. So one of everything, not a complete set of weights, but not a bad set of weights. And because there was nobody else there, it was easy to spend an hour and do a workout. So I did an hour there, free water bottles and towels, everything you'd need. So very impressed with that. So I look forward to coming here again sometime. I feel not so fit as I did before I went down, and I was disappointed to see that I put on a little bit of weight. I don't normally weigh myself, but I know what I should weigh, and I noticed I was a bit over this time. So must blame that on Christmas. Must work harder to get rid of it. I'm not getting enough running done, I know that, so I must run more, probably eat a bit less and drink a bit less alcohol. There you go, it's public. After my lecture and before Rita took me back to the hotel tonight, or this afternoon, I was in a room with one of the postgraduate students using a computer, a young lady called Sana, and just I never cease to be amazed by how impressive the PhD students are here. They're very focused, they can tell you exactly what the project's about right from the start, and they're very productive because they, like other Scandinavian and Dutch and Belgian PhDs, they have to publish, so it really focuses their mind on what they're doing, and I really wonder about the virtues of having that kind of PhD system in the UK. I know that I've talked about it to people, and there aren't any universities that I know do that. It's different from PhD by publication in retrospect, it's quite a different model. But I really would like to see it, because I think it focuses the PhD students and it gives them something to put on their CV as soon as they've graduated. You know, they really are being prepared to be researchers and academics and indeed advanced clinicians. So I'm always impressed when I come here. And the class I taught this afternoon was one of a whole week on quantitative methods with lots of students, as I said, from Finland, Lithuania, Spain, and the UK, and I'd really like to see more of our UK students attending programmes like that, or for perhaps for some of us in the UK to put on programmes like that. Must give that some thought. It's more work, but so what? No, no, it's okay. No, could I have these scallops to start?
Yeah.
You've got them. And then I'll have the... We've lost it now. The calf's liver.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Would you like to check our wine?
Yeah, yes, please. Yes, yeah. I'll have it on my menu. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've had an excellent dinner in the hotel tonight. The kitchen here is very good. I think I've never had a meal here I didn't enjoy. I got a good wine list. They do charge €2.50 for a half carafe of water. It seems a bit stiff, but as I'm not paying, not too much of a problem for me this time, but I would remember that if I was paying. I was very glad to be able to have dinner by myself. I quite like time with myself when I'm on the road. It's nice to be with people, but it is nice to have at least one night by yourself. You can catch up with things, you can do some thinking, but for me, over dinner, I can do things like keep in touch with the family. There's one or two things going on back home that needed sorting out, and I can text and email and WhatsApp the family. Six of my children have got are on a WhatsApp chat. We're all signed up to it, so I keep up with them and what's going on in their lives. And add my own little bit in now and again. It's all very amusing, very funny, very light-hearted, and good to keep in touch with the children. I mentioned that my wife was taking me to the station in a previous podcast. I'm married, I've got 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls, all to the same wife, I hasten to add. People seem to assume they're from serial marriages, but they're not. The oldest of my children is a girl who's 30, and the youngest is a girl who is 16. So quite a spread. Let's see, 3 still at home, 1 working, 1 at university, 1 still at school. 2 of my daughters are nurses. One of those is a nurse in the army. Another daughter is in the army, and I have two sons who are working, one of whom recently left the army. And I have, that's it, I think that's them all covered. You'll have to count them yourself. I've just been uploading my podcast from yesterday and learning how to use some of the effects on the Audacity package. It's good fun. You can put in echoes and things like that, and reverse it and phase it in and fade it out. I've tried to use some of these things in the podcasts. My intention in these podcasts is really to learn how to do it, to get the courage to record things in public, which isn't always easy. Of course, you can't just go recording other people without their permission, but at least to get used to making audio records without feeling too self-conscious about it. After all, we speak into mobile phones all the time. Why shouldn't we speak into a dictaphone? And just to record as many sounds, sort of audio impressions of my journey as possible. Whether it interests anyone else or not, I don't know. I hope it does. I'm not doing this just out of self-indulgence. Some people have expressed an interest in what I do, and I do a regular blog for Sigma Theta Tau called Hanging Smart. And what I'll do is I will put in hypertexts to these various podcasts there so people can listen to those if they want to. Naturally, they don't have to. But what I'm trying to get to is a stage where I'm very comfortable making recordings and then begin to record other people, because other people are far more interesting than me. So I'd like to do that at various conferences. I might try and do a little bit of that while I'm in Qatar. But I'm especially aiming to do it when I'm in Taiwan at the beginning of February, when I'm at the EFONS conference there. And I would like to try and stop people and interview them, ask them a few questions. And I think that could be quite lively. We'll see. So I'm signing off for tonight. Get to bed, as I've said before, very early for an exceedingly early start tomorrow morning. And then that takes me to Helsinki from Turku, and from Helsinki to London, and then in the afternoon from London to Qatar, if it all goes well.